Good morning to you all. Good to see your faces. Thank God for putting it in your heart. I have the desire to be out this morning. Spring is here. It's warming up. And I know that makes some of us feel better. That's good. Just trust that the Lord continue to bless each and every one of us. And this morning, just trust that He has a message in store for each heart and that He'll speak through me, to you all. Let's pray. Glorious Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly, thanking you and praising you for your love for us and for your mighty, perfect work of salvation, which saved us while we were going astray about our own business. We were lost. You looked down and you reached down in love, and through your grace, you gave us what we didn't deserve. And now we can call you Father. We're at peace with you. We're at one with you. And we can pray to you. And we can walk with your Son and with your Holy Spirit. So we give you thanks, Heavenly Father, for caring for us, for providing for us. And this morning, as we open up the scriptures and we seek to look at your will, just ask you to grant us wisdom there, Heavenly Father. We know you've told us that we can ask for wisdom. That's our intention here this morning. Glorious Father, I want to remember those amongst us who are ill, aching. I want to remember in particular, Joan and Eddie are here today. We're pleased, happy to see them after not seeing them for quite a while. We know Joan is struggling with various health issues, cancer. I just ask that you would be near her, continue to encourage her. Thank you for giving her a positive outlook despite the situation, being near her. Grant wisdom to the doctors who would overlook her situation, investigate her situation. Be near her, Heavenly Father. Bless her and provide for her, both her and her son and her husband. I want to also remember the Palumbas. As we've been told, Ralph went to visit them, and we know they still struggle. Things are not perfect with them, but thank you for, you know, using them where they are. Thank you for their continued praising of you, their love for you. And we know, Heavenly Father, that even in that sick bed, they can move mountains on your behalf. So just ask that you would help them not to give up, not to turn inward on themselves, but to keep looking to you, and that you would encourage them to pray for this church. Pray for each individual. Pray mightily that you would use them there in their sick bed to touch hearts. Heavenly Father, we ask all this now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So the topic for this morning is the will of God. This thought that came to me as I was going through devotion over a series of days. I know many of us often wonder, what's the will of God for me? And I've heard that before in various different circumstances, different environments. People wonder, what's the will of God for me? And I think that's sort of a wrong approach to the whole thing. I think we ought to be first learning what is God's will. So find out what God's will is. Learn exactly what He would have us do, and do it. And I think in doing God's will, our will, the will of God for us, will be worked out. We don't have to ask Him, we don't have to spend time pining. Should I take this job? Should I marry this person? That type of thing. We ask questions like those, when we should be just focusing on God's will. And in your doing His will, Your will be worked out. So we're going to look at some of the things that God has pointed out in His scripture. It's not by any means an exhaustive list. As a matter of fact, it's a very, very short list. And there are many, many more wills of God throughout the scripture, which we won't touch today. So I'd encourage you, based on that, to read the Bible. Get into the Word. You can't read the Bible enough. Even if you read it through several times, each time you read it, there's something new that comes up to you. Or even a verse that you know very well, you read it and some different thought comes out of it. That's why the Word of God is considered living and powerful. So, the first will that I'm going to look at is in James 1:5, where it says, we should ask for wisdom. It's the will of God that we ask for wisdom. I'll just turn to it, and it's good to turn to these verses. James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I think it ties in with this will. When people say, what is the will of God for my life? Where are you looking for it? One of the things we ought to do is pray that the Lord will give us wisdom in everything we do. And the wisdom of God is not the wisdom of man. Man is puffed up in his wisdom and believes he knows everything. But we know that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. And man's wisdom is foolishness in the sight of God. So we've got to look to God to give us his wisdom, which comes from a relationship with him, walking in him, knowing who he is, listening to his Holy Spirit, which guides us and strengthens us and directs us. And he will give us wisdom in amazing ways. I speak from experience. It's amazing. Even this week, there were times when there were projects or challenges which came up in my workplace, for example. And I had to say, God, help me. Give me wisdom in dealing with this. And amazingly, he comes through. It's amazing. He solves a problem and you can walk away. But don't forget to give him thanks. He also asks for thanks. It's another will of his which we'll look at shortly. So that's the first one. In James 1:5, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. Another one, another will of God is that we should study the Word. Study the Word of God. And these are just basics, straightforward. I mean, you should know this. Most of us should all know this. Shouldn't be any news to us. But the God has the will that each and every one of his children should get into the Word. And that's why I'm encouraging you to read the Scripture. For in the Word is where God reveals himself, primarily to us as Christians here today. That's where we see God reveal himself. God reveals himself in other ways, as we were talking this morning, in creation, that type of thing, in the glory of the world, I mean, of creation. And if we look into the universe, we can see the hand of God at work. There are many ways, but primarily to us as Christians, he reveals himself through the inspired Word, his Word of God, his Word which he wants us to know of himself. He also reveals himself through Jesus Christ, who walked on the earth and lived out a perfect life as a human being. So we're just going to look at that verse which reminds us and encourages us to study the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, so we can hold on to that verse as one of the wills of God, that we study to show ourselves approved of God. And as we understand it and use it, we will be seen as workmen of God that need not be ashamed, because we are working in his way, in his will, according to his commandments. and dividing the word of truth, we'll be able to understand what it means. We'll be able to impart the word of God to others. But if we don't know, if we're not getting into the scripture, and if we don't know the word of God, we're really leaving ourselves very weak. Because the word of God is used by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit calls to our remembrance the word of God and empowers us and gives us direction and comfort in this life. But if we don't have the word of God to hold on to, if all we can hold on to is some worldly phrase, then we're losing. We don't have the power of God working in us. We look at another will of God. Trust in God. Where do you put your trust? Some of us put our trust in a variety of different things. Put our trust in our jobs, our big accounts, our wives, husbands. Put our trust in false religions. But God would have us put our trust in Him. Put your trust in God. And the verse which I'm going to use to bring that out is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Another well-known verse. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. With all thine heart. That's a portion we tend to overlook. Sometimes we just trust Him that He'll provide food today. But we don't trust Him when the difficult things come up in our lives. The difficult circumstances come. That's why we need to trust God. When we're out of a job, when a sudden death comes, trust God. Trust Him with all your heart. And He promises if you do that, He will direct your path. I guess some scriptures say, some versions of the Bible say, He'll make your path straight. He will direct. I tend to hold on to He'll direct your path. He'll guide you even when the way is crooked and there are obstacles. He'll guide you through it. So trust in God. Whatever is concerning you today, whatever is worrying you today, cast your cares upon Him. Cast your cares at His feet. Pray to Him, serve Him, and obey Him. Trust Him. He can overcome all obstacles. He says, if you have faith, you can ask this mountain to move, and to be cast into the ocean, and it will be moved. And I can attest that God has moved mountains in my life. And I'm sure you can look back into your life and see where God has moved and worked mightily in your life. So that's it. Trust in God. Another one is pray for all men. We ought to pray, not just in church when we come to church, pray to God to help us, to guide us, to provide for us. But we ought to pray for all men. That includes, and it goes on to say, for those in authority. So regardless of who you voted for in the election, pray for the president. Pray for the governor. Pray for those in the Senate and the House. Those in authority in the church, in the body, pray for them. Encourage them. Come to them. When you get a chance to say something to them, give them an encouraging word. Pray. When we pray, we ought to pray for all. And we're going to look at the verses which share that. I think it's in 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2. First Timothy 2, 1 and 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Okay, don't miss that. He's encouraging us to pray, and he's encouraging us to pray for all men. It goes on to say, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So it instructs us to pray, and who to pray for? Those in authority, president, king. And it goes on to give us a promise. If we pray for our leaders, for those in our authority, there'll be peace. There'll be peace in our nation. There'll be peace in our hearts. There'll be peace. So that's one offshot of praying for all men, as it says here. It goes on to say, pray that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Another will of God, which is in the same chapter here, is God will have all people to be saved. God will have all man to be saved. Something to meditate upon. Because we might become injured or hurt, or we might see some evil, we might see some wrong, that we might choose to say, that guy ought to go to hell, or he's surely going to go to hell. But that should not be our attitude as children of God. We should always be seeking to restore that person, any person, whoever has hurt us or caused us harm, or is against the church, or is against God. You know, many people hold Hitler as this big example of a person who must be in hell. It's not guaranteed. We don't know that. We don't know what Hitler did in his heart. And there are many others who we look at and we say they're so evil and they're so wicked that they should go to hell. That's not the attitude of a Christian. God has instructed us to pray for all men, and that his will is that none should be lost. His will is that all should be saved. So let's just read a verse. In verse 4, that same chapter 2 of 1 Timothy. Let me just read from verse 3. For this is a good and acceptable thing in the sight of God, our Savior. Verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. The will of God is that all should be saved. And we read also in Peter, 2 Peter 3:9, that he's not willing that any should perish. So let's move on to another will of God. Another will of God is that we as Christians should preach the gospel to the world. We as Christians are responsible for spreading the good news of God. And God left that responsibility to man, to Christians. He could have used other means, but that's what he chose. In order for the world to hear the gospel, to know the good news, we have to go for it. It's a big responsibility on us. If we don't do it, who's going to get to the world? So there's a motivation for us to seek to spread the good news in whatever way we can. Teach it to the children around us. It's good we have Sunday school and Bible club. And in whatever way we can, reach out to the elders. It's good to have the conferences we have. Go into the neighborhood like we did last summer. That's the will of God. That's one of the will of God, that Christians should spread the gospel. And the verse I have for that is Matthew 28:18-20, where it says, go into all nations and preach the gospel and teach them all that I have commanded you, and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And we'll move on. Another will of God is to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Prayer is probably the most effective tool that we have in our bag. It's one of the things which after God says, after we have put on the whole armor of God, in Ephesians 6, where we put on the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation, and we have the shield of faith and the sword and everything. Beyond that, God says, pray. Pray. And we have to pray without ceasing. Some people believe that can't be possible to pray without ceasing. But if you are in the attitude of prayer, if you walk with God, if you talk with Him, and you listen to Him, it'll become natural. If you're in your house with your husband or your wife or your children, you're talking with them constantly throughout the day. And that's how we need to build up this relationship with God, that we're always in an attitude of prayer, talking to Him, listening to Him. It's important to listen to what He says and obey and turn and repent if necessary. And that's one of the will of God for Christians in particular. It's I think I'm looking at the verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. It says, in everything, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. I just like how those verses are just staccato. It's like staccato. You know, they just bang, bang, bang. In everything, give rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. And it's just something which the Lord would have us do for His own purpose and for His will. And you notice, if you're doing that, your will become clear to you. When I say your will, the will of God for your life will become clear to you and will be worked out naturally. If you're doing His, if you spend time doing what He instructs you to do, and you'll see clearly that His will for you will be worked out. Okay, another thing is, I'm going to spend a little time looking at marriage. Look at a few verses with regards to marriage. The will of God with regards to marriage. In Genesis 2, it's clear that God wants one man and one woman to be in this marriage relationship. So let's just read those verses. Genesis 2:20 through 24. Genesis 2:20. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowls of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. So just keep that little verse, little saying right there. And there was not found an help meet for him, a help appropriate for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord had taken from man made he woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So it's clear there. Man leaves his mother and father. It's a man cleaves unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. From the example of Adam and Eve, right, that first marriage was instituted by God. Other things with regards to marriage, another thing which we can learn, we look at the will of God, is that we ought not to be unequally yoked. This is a big thing. You know, you see this happening, especially amongst youngsters. They'll approach you and they'll say, I'm interested in this guy, I'm dating this guy. And you might say, is he a follower of the Lord? Is he a Christian? They say, no, no, but I'm working on him. I'm trying to change him. That's not, the Lord is not in that. That's not the will of the Lord there. It's clear in the scripture. So people ask, what is the will of the Lord concerning me? But if you do what his will is, it will be clear your will be worked out. So, the will of the Lord is that we should not be unequally yoked. And you can find that scripture in 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. Let's move on to another thing with regards to wives and husbands. Wives should submit to your husband. Wives should submit to your husband. And if we read that, let's just read that passage. Time is running out, but it's important to read some of these things. Ephesians 5 and verse 22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband. Period. There's not a period there. It says, as unto the Lord. So in the same way that we come here and we worship the Lord and we obey his commandment and we look to him for direction and guidance in our lives, likewise, that's the same relationship between the wife and the husband. The wife should submit to the husband, meaning yield, give him the role of leadership. Yield to the husband as we also yield to Christ, as unto Christ. Take the example of what our role is with regards to Christ. As we in the church yield the leadership and the direction and the will to Christ, it's the same way that the wife is to yield and submit. Now, the husbands have a big responsibility. They just don't get away without no responsibility. God says the husband had to love the wife. And let's read that verse. I think it's verse 25. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So Christ uses his example again, the example which he sets in his love of the church, where he loved us as Christians, as all those he came to search and to save, and he gave his life for it. He laid down his life for it, to show the extent of his love. Likewise, the husbands are to give their all for their wives. Okay? Let's move on. There are several wills of the Lord. The will of the Lord is numerous throughout the scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. But we're just picking on a few of them today. Probably can do some more at some other time. So we talked about marriage, where wives should submit to the husband, and the husband should love their wives. Then we're just going to briefly look at headship within the church. There's such a thing as headship within the church, and it's spelled out in 1 Corinthians 11:3. Let's just turn to it quickly. And that's another will of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Okay? That doesn't sound too tough. We can accept that. And the head of the woman is man. That's where we get into big problem. How can you say that? In this world of women's labor and equal rights and whatever you name it. And it goes on to say, and the head of Christ is God. So, what do you do? Do you say, I throw this verse out. I don't believe in this verse. I'll not read it. You know, I've been in Bible studies and I'm reading through and it's come across verses like this. And somebody turned to me and said, I don't believe in that verse. If it was me, I would not read it. In Bible study. Christians. That's what we are. That's what we're like. We pick and choose which verses we'll obey. and which verses we'll accept. But that's not how we should accept, we should approach God and the Scripture. We should approach it as the Scripture is God's Word, inspired by God. And I need to have an open heart, a heart which is ready to be taught and to be trained and to be directed and to be turned. So when we come to a verse like this, we should not be upset. There are other verses which says things like, let your woman keep silence in the church. And when that was a particular verse which one lady said she would never read, much less preach it to anybody. But there is such a thing as a headship in the church. And that's why the ladies here today have something on their head. Because it's instructed in this chapter. You can read on this until about verse 12 in this 1 Corinthians 11, where even the angels look down and marvel at what is going on, because they see there's a headship of God over Christ, Christ over man, and man over the woman in the church. So that's the will of the Lord, that there should be that order of headship and it should be respected. And we who have the particular assignments to us should carry it out. That's why men should be leaders in the church, and men should be leaders in their families. It's ordained by Scripture, by God. So let's just move on. Couple quick ones as we close out. One thing is, I just figured I'd put this in. Foolish and unwise communication. I'm going to read a few verses. God doesn't want us to to take up our time with fables and gossip and looking. For example, these verses that I read, some people tend to get cantankerous and want to challenge you or God with regards to certain scriptures. It's not the way of God. God doesn't want to waste your time in fables and arguments like those. He wants everything we do and everything we say to be edifying, to uplift others and to instruct others. So I'm just going to read a few verses quickly. Turn to Titus 3:9. So Titus 3:9, what does it say? It says, avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A lot of things are going on here. First of all, I didn't even realize this. I've been living for so many years now. I'm not a young man anymore. I'm getting up there. And I've always heard the saying, I hear this in college, you know, there are no foolish questions. And I believed up until just this week when I was going through that there were no foolish questions. They would always say, in your class, always ask a question. If you don't know anything, ask it. What? I understand what they're saying. What they're saying is true. If you're in class and you have something that you don't understand, don't sit there on the question. Ask it. Regardless of how embarrassing it might make you feel, or how stupid it might make you look in class. That's what they're saying. There's truth to that. But above that, look at what this verse says, but avoid foolish questions. There are such things as foolish questions. And we'll try to get into arguments about them. That's why the unbelievers will always come up with something where they believe they can trap you, or they might see contradictions in the Bible and they want to lift it up. Those are foolish questions. We should not occupy ourselves with that. So that's just another will of the Lord I'm just bringing out. And finally, do all in the name of the Lord. Whatever we do, whatever is your occupation, whatever comes in your path as you go along in life, do it in the name of the Lord, and as unto the Lord. And we can see that in Colossians. Colossians 3. We're going to look at two verses in Colossians 3. It's Colossians 3:17 first, and Colossians 3:23. Both of those verses start off by saying, whatsoever you do. And you should pay attention to this, because it's saying, whatever you do. And that's all we do in this life. We do things. So, God is saying, whatsoever you do, in verse 17, in word or in deed, that means whatever you speak or whatever you actually do in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks. And what does the other verse say? The other verse is verse 23. It starts off in sort of the same way. It says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. So regardless of who you work for, do the work, not because you're trying to please your boss, or because your boss says to do it. Give it your best. Put in your full day's labor. This is an example of what I'm talking about with regards to your jobs. But there are many other things. We talk about praying. Same thing. Pray as unto the Lord, and pray knowing that the Lord is listening to you. Get into the scriptures. Get into the word. Encourage you to read not just a verse here and there like we've been doing it in this message. We can't do better because the time is limited. But I encourage you to pick a book and read it from the beginning to the end. And pick a different book when you complete with that and read it through again. And if you're so inclined, you can get helps, you know, concordance and other things like that to help you understand it further. But you don't even have to do that. Just read it and the truth will come to you. And if you're a child of God, you also have the help of the Holy Spirit, which is going to help to reveal that Word of God to you and to point out key messages in it. So let's just close on that. Whatever we do, whether in speaking or in our actions, in our deeds, do it as unto the Lord, in the will of the Lord. Even in our jobs, and in our work. Give our best as unto the Lord. So we'll close on that. And like I said, there are many other wills of God, the will of God, is many. So I'd encourage you as you read through to look at what the Lord would have you do, what the Lord would have you practice, what the Lord would have you commit to heart, how He'll have you face this world. There are many, many struggles, many things that can come upon us. And as we've been praying today, some, like I pointed out, some have lost jobs. Some are sick, cancer, some scary diseases. Let's be in prayer for each other. Let's lift up each other. So let's just close off now. Glorious, loving Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for guiding us through this day to this point. Thank you for your word, which was delivered, and we just ask that hearts would have been encouraged by it, and that hearts have been touched, and will now take your word and seek to read your scriptures. Seek to ask you for wisdom. Seek to follow your direction with regards to marriage. Seek to find where you're guiding. Trust you in all we do, Heavenly Father. There's a lot to be thankful for. So help us to not only pray to you, but be thankful when you answer. And be thankful for your provision in our lives. Thank you for meeting all our needs, Heavenly Father. You're wonderful and gracious. You said the birds, the little birds, they don't worry about their food, and you provide food for them. much more you'll provide for us, Heavenly Father, your children. So we give you glory and thanks today. We ask you to guide us and strengthen us. Help us to walk in your way. Help us to glorify your name. And Lord, we just ask that one day we'll be with you, as you've told us, you've revealed to us, that we as children of yours are the bride of Christ, and we will share in his inheritance. Such an amazing thing. But thank you for revealing that much to us, Heavenly Father. We give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.